could all stand this evening. We're going to do something a little out of the ordinary here. We're going to have our bishop is going to introduce our special speaker tonight, but he's having a little hard time getting up and around, so we're just going to bring the microphone to him. Bishop, so great to have you here tonight. Isn't it great to have him here tonight?
Praise God. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Aren't you glad you're in the house of God tonight? Oh, my. You know, this world of ours, especially the political arena being the way it is, I know that most of you are confused about the election and all of this. I get so troubled. There have been over 50 million abortions since Roe versus Wade. Now that's a lot of, you know, one thing that amazes me, all of these people that are in favor of abortion, they themselves were born. You know, it just, but we have an evangelist that comes by like Brother Mackey, and he's done this for many years here. And he's solid as a rock, gives you hope, gives you a message of salvation, does not waver, never has, preaches straight from the Bible. Aren't you glad we have an evangelist like that? Oh, yes. Praise God. Brother Mackey, we love you. And we're glad that you're here. Take the liberty to bring us the word of the Lord.
And thank you, Bishop Grant. Praise the Lord, everybody. Boy, Sister Mack and I so value our friendship with the Grant family through all these years. Benjamin Franklin said, if you have three friends when you're old, you're a rich man. So I'm one-third to being rich, all right? Okay. Anyway, good to see all of you in God's house on this Sunday night. It's good to be in a church that still has Sunday night service, you know. You know, it is more and more churches I used to preach for have dismissed Sunday night for whatever reason. And it's actually spiritually incorrect to do that. You know, people, the world wants to be politically correct. We need to be spiritually correct. The Bible said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But we should do it even more, because Jesus is coming. And I don't know about some of you folks, but I'm getting married in the morning. You know, I really am. So, hallelujah. And I'm glad Brother Grant mentioned the election a little bit. Now, I've never had to get food stamps, right? But if I had to, really, I don't care how many food stamps you give me, I just cannot vote for somebody who's for same-sex marriages or abortion. You know what? I think the Bible really should be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our feet when we go to that ballot, that box. I really do. But God's got it all under control, folks. Amen. Sister Mackie and I were talking the other day, and I mentioned this to Brother Roy Grant, you know, right after this morning service. Sister Mackie said it tongue-in-cheek, but we were talking about all the problems of the world, and Sister Mackie said, sometimes I feel sorry for God. I mean, she didn't mean that, but you know what a mess this world is? But he's got it all in control. Amen. I'm so glad about that, because I'll tell you the best thing. If there's ever a time to get close to Jesus Christ, this is the day to get close to Jesus Christ. All right. So let's open up our Bibles while we stand one more moment to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 in our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2. And I do appreciate Pastor Roy Grant allowing you to participate in our trip to Ecuador. And You know, when pastors go overseas, their churches usually send them. When missionaries go overseas, they have partners in missions. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. So I am kind of dependent on churches that know my ministry and are willing to support it a little bit. So I do really appreciate your pastor doing this in Calvary Gospel Church for their support. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. I don't normally read this many verses, but if you haven't read your Bible in the last day or two, this will be your Bible reading for October 2nd and 3rd, all right? Or 1st and 2nd, all right. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you may be seated in the name of Jesus. Salvation is the theme of this book. Salvation is the theme of this book. From Genesis to Revelation, salvation, 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 salvation. Walk into the University of Wisconsin's library and say, I want the best book you've got on salvation. This is the book they need to give you, right here. Walk into the library in Washington, D.C. Give me the best book you've got on salvation. This is the book they need to give you right here. There you're holding in your lap. A man goes into a certain area of study, whether it's engineering, as a physician, doctor, or whatever. And know what? They read the finest materials they can read on that subject. This book you're holding tonight is the best book on salvation that you can ever read. Jesus, the author of this book, expressed that when he came and walked among us. He said, I'm not here to condemn the world. The world's condemned already. He said, I'm not here to condemn it. I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I'm here because people that are well do not need a physician, but people that are sick need a physician. And I'm here because people are sick. Jesus is the one who told the story about the shepherd with 100 sheep. 99 were in the fold. One was missing. He was not content because there was 99 in the fold. He was discontent because there was one missing. And he searched all night till he found the one lost sheep. And regardless of how many souls God gives us right here in Calvary Gospel Church, we should always be thankful. But we should never be content. We should always be discontent because so many people in Madison need the saving power, amen, of Jesus Christ, amen, in their life. Jesus is the one who looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept over it because he said, how often would I have gathered you unto me as a hen would gather her brood, but he said, yet ye would not. Jesus is the author of this book, and Jesus emphasized that salvation is the theme. Now, out of this whole book, the Bible, 66 books, 31,000 chapters, 773,000 words, I personally believe that the summary, the synopsis of the whole book is found right in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, all right, starting with verse 1 through verse 9. Verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you understand a person without Jesus Christ is absolutely spiritually dead? Dead. I remember when I was a precision inspector in a machine shop years ago, when you could still work in the still smoke in the workplace, and I had a partner by the name of Herb, who was always quoting little tidbits of scripture around me to let me know he was religious. All right, but Herb had a bad attitude sometimes. I came into work on a Monday morning. He had just inhaled on a cigarette and exhaled right in my face. He said, "Mackie, do you smoke?" I said, "Herb, you know I don't smoke. Do you drink?" I said, "No." He went through the whole Pentecostal checklist, and I went, "No, no, 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 no." He said, "You know something, Mackie?" I said, "What?" He said, "You are really dead." I said, "Herb, if you put on as much scripture as you put on, you know, then you know that I'm not the one who's dead. You are the one who was dead in trespasses and sins. And I would much rather be dead to the music of the world, the entertainment of the world, the spirit of the world, and be alive to the voice of God, the spirit of God, and the word of God." Verse 2, "Wherein in time past we walked." Where did we used to walk? We walked according to the course of this world. We are under the sway and the tendency of this present age. Do you know why? Because we were dead to the things of God. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That is, the devil. We walked according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If you're here tonight and you have a friend that is obedient to the things of God, you are really blessed. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all," every one of us, we all had our conversation or our lifestyle, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind. And this is not hard with the computer and the internet anymore. All right. And I mean, whatever we wanted to do or find, it's there. All right. And we're by nature, because of how we lived, because of our lifestyle, because of how we dressed, because of our attitudes, because of our actions, we deserved the judgment of God. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We deserved the judgment of God. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Saudi Arabia is rich in oil. Oregon is rich in forestry. Some of you may be rich in antiques, but I want you to know that the God we are worshiping tonight is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. In other words, God didn't say, "Go clean yourself up and then I will touch you." No, you sat out there with lust in your heart, amen, adultery in your spirit, drugs in your veins, alcohol on your breath. Who knows what your condition was? But even in that condition, even before you made a step toward God, he loved you in that condition, even before you made a move to God. Because God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. We are on Commercial Street here, but you know what? We're sitting in heavenly places. Verse 7, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." If anyone in this building thinks God is not kind, you need to look at Calvary one more time. Because the crucifixion is not a fairy tale. It is not a figment of some man's imagination. They really took a man by the name of Jesus, and they beat him more than any man was ever beaten. They put a blindfold on him and put him before a band of soldiers. And folks, and I want you to know, they hit him in the face and hit him in the mouth and hit him in the ears and hit him in the chest and hit him in the groin and hit him in the kidneys. One translation for Isaiah said he was so beaten that you cannot even distinguish the chin, you know, from the lips, from the cheekbone. He was beaten more than any man was ever beaten. And when they beat Jesus Christ, blood came from his eyes, and blood came from his nose, and blood came from his mouth, and blood came from his ears, and they put stripes on his back, and there was more blood. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and there was more blood. They nailed him to a cross with nails through his wrists and through his feet, more blood, and they drove a spear into his side, even more blood. Do you know why? Because the blood of bulls and goats has no power to take away sin. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that is not a fairy tale. And if anyone here thinks God is not kind, you need to look at Calvary one more time. The kindness of God toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Salvation, it is the gift of God. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, it says in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved. For by grace are ye saved. Now, there's a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is not receiving punishment, all right, that we deserve. And grace is receiving benefits that we don't deserve at all. I read this little story about where this father told his son, if I ever catch you smoking cigarettes, I'm going to give you 5 whacks with my belt. You know? And do you know what? He caught his son smoking cigarettes. The story comes close to me because I only tried smoking one time. Lucky Strike. LSMFT. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Behind the garage. I don't know what was wrong with me. Okay, but I did it. But this father caught his son smoking. And he said, all right, son, come on in. So the dad takes off his belt. And he said, and he gave him 3 whacks with the belt. 3 whacks. And the son's sitting there feeling bad, crying. And then he says, come on, son, we're going to go out to the ice cream shop. And you're going to get the biggest hot fudge sundae you can eat. I mean, get 5 scoops of ice cream, double hot fudge, extra walnuts, extra whipped cream, and 3 cherries. All right? So the son's still whimpering. He's out there, you know, eating the hot fudge sundae, and this hot fudge dripping off of his mouth. And the father said, now look at me, son. Remember I said I was going to give you 5 whacks with the belt, and I only gave you 3? That's mercy. But now I'm giving you this hot fudge sundae. You don't deserve it, but I'm giving it to you. That's grace. All right? Now, I remember driving from Port Arthur, Texas, up to Lufkin, Texas, to preach. And now I don't have a radar detector in my car. All right? And I try not to speed, but sometimes, you know, it just happens, you know. All right? So it's a beautiful Sunday morning. I'm going along the Gulf of Mexico. There's no traffic. And I'm just cruising because I have a service at noon, right? And I'm going up this highway, and this county I'm going through only has one sheriff, just one. And I'm cruising up the highway, and he comes out of the side road. He sees me. I mean, I'm the only car. He pulls right across the road, turns out his blue lights, and he gets out of the car and says, you, pull over, you. I'm the only one. So I said, really, officer? I said, check my record. I said, I don't speed. I have no tickets. He said, yeah, but you're going pretty fast. I got to give you a ticket. So I said, okay. So he hands me the ticket through the window, and I said, what's the fine? He said, there's the judge's name and phone number is on the back of the ticket. So you call that number on Monday morning, and they'll tell you what the fine is. So Monday morning, I call. All right, and I said, I'm Jonathan Mackey. I'm from Wisconsin. And I got a speeding ticket, and I'm on a call to find out what the fine is and whether you'll take a check from out of state. And this nice secretary said, oh, she said, you're a visitor in our state. I said, yes. And I said, yeah, I'm from Wisconsin. And so she said, why are you in Texas? I was embarrassed to say, I'm a preacher telling people to obey the law. Okay, all right, no. I said, well, ma'am, I said, I'm a minister and I'm down here preaching some revival services. She said, you ought to talk to the judge about this. I said, ma'am, really, I don't want to talk to the judge. I just want to find out what the fine is and whether you'll take an out-of-state check. She says, talk to the judge. I said, no. I said, I don't think the ministry should use the office of ministry to get out of paying fines. So I said, just tell me what the fine is. She said, talk to the judge. I said, ma'am, just give me the fine. Okay. And so finally she says, well, I'm going to talk to the judge. So she puts the phone down before it gets, and so you can hear him talking in the background. She comes back and says, Reverend Mackey. I said, yes, ma'am. She's, and the lady said, no fine, no penalty, no points. And I said, thank you, ma'am, and hung up the phone before she could change her mind. You know what I'm saying? But folks, I deserve the fine. I deserve the penalty. But whoever this judge was, he extended both mercy and grace unto me. But I want you to know the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved. I want everyone in this house to know there would be no salvation without grace. In fact, let's look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 11 for a moment. Acts chapter 15, and I don't know, there's a ton of scriptures I could read for this, but I'm just going to read two. Acts chapter 15 and verse 11. Acts 15, 11. It says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. In other words, there's no salvation without grace. But then it says in the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Because when you get a glimpse of Calvary, that's the grace of God that hath appeared to all men. So salvation did not bring grace, but grace brings salvation because grace is receiving benefits that we do not deserve. But now it says in the book of Ephesians, all right, chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It doesn't say by grace are you saved, sentence, end of thought, end of sentence. No, because a lot of people said you're saved by grace. No, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. Now, how many people here, might be a man too, but how many women and men, how many here know how to make an apple pie? Would you raise your hand? All right, an apple pie. All right. Now, what is the key ingredient in an apple pie? Apples, right. Now, make a pie. Have the crust, the sugar, the cinnamon, and no apples. And bake it. And say, here's some apples. No, it's not an apple pie. It's a cinnamon pie. It's a crust pie. But it's not an apple pie. The most important ingredient in the salvation, in the apple pie recipe, is the apple. The most important ingredient in the salvation recipe is grace. Because there would be no salvation without grace. But the second ingredient in the salvation recipe is faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Do you understand? The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Now let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3:16, the most memorized, the most quoted, the most loved verse of scripture in the world and from the entire Bible. And I agree with this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the grace ingredient, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the faith ingredient. The first ingredient is grace. The second ingredient is faith. Now, faith is the soul saying, I cannot save myself, but God can save me. Faith is you leaping yourself and putting yourself in God's arms and say, God, you can save me. I cannot save myself. In fact, there's more. In fact, let's look at the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and beginning with verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No, I don't have to confess anything. I'm saved by grace. No, by grace are you saved through faith. Right? Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No, I don't have to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't need to pray. I'm saved by grace. No, by grace are you saved through faith. I want everyone here to know what we have today because of grace, the benefits of God. Because of grace, there's an apostolic church in Madison, Wisconsin. Right? Because of grace, God gives you a pastor. Because of grace, there's a preacher in this pulpit tonight, giving you truth. Because of grace, there's a Bible in your lap. Because of grace, there's an altar that we can pray at. Because of grace, there's a name that we can call upon. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. All of that is the benefits of God to us. Now, please listen to this statement. Everyone in Madison can be saved because of grace. But not everyone will be saved because they do not have faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, but when you step out of that pew and you come down to this altar to call upon the name of the Lord, it lets me know you have faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the grace ingredient. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That is the faith ingredient. So the first ingredient in the salvation recipe is grace. The second ingredient is faith. And the third ingredient in the salvation recipe is obedience. Obedience. Now let's turn in our Bibles, shall we, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15 in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 15 in our Bibles. And verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, every time you read the word behold in the Bible, there's something very important that comes after this word. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, that means to listen with the desire to obey, is better than the fat of rams. Now, I remember being in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and every February, Hindus take long needles and pins, stick them through this side of their face and out this side. They'll put their tongue in out their mouth and put a pin in their tongue so their tongue cannot recede into their mouth. They will put pins under the loose skin under their arms and on their rib cage, decorate them with ribbons, all right, and balloons, and hang rocks and weights on these pins and crawl up 1,000 stairs. Because they think this is going to cleanse them. When I was at the Vatican in Rome, I saw a man crawling up and down the steps of the Vatican, down the aisle, kisses the altar, crawls back out. His pants legs were torn. His knees were a bloody mess. Because he thinks this is what it takes to be saved. What it takes to be saved. There are times that there are Buddhist priests that over in Southeast Asia, they will sit down, all right, pour gas on themselves, light a match, and sit there and burn to death. And not even whimper or make a sound. But do you understand, folks, that obedience is better than sacrifice? All right? And to hearken with the desire to obey is better than the fat of rams. Aren't you glad you don't have to crawl up and down the church steps till your knees bleed or put pins in your skin or put a gas on yourself? Obedience is better than sacrifice. It's because, folks, if you really have faith, you're going to have obedience to back it up. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2 in our Bibles. In James, chapter 2, James, chapter 2, and verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone, is dead. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. show me thy faith without thy works, and I'm going to show you my faith by my works. And the works in this verse of scripture is not, it's not good works, like you're giving your money to the poor and your clothes to the naked, because our own righteousness is as filthy rags, but this is works of obedience. In fact, one translation says, so faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, it is destitute of power. It is inoperative. It is dead. If you really have faith in God, you're going to do what he tells you to do. If you really believe there was gold in your backyard, you'd be digging holes there. But why dig up your grass? You don't believe there's gold there. And if we really believed this building was on fire, we'd have some actions to back it up. We'd be running off the exit door. And if you really believe God, you're going to do what he tells you to do. Because I'm going to show you my faith by my actions of obedience to God. So then it's so I'm going to show you my faith by my works. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works of obedience, one translation says, it is inactive, it is ineffective, and it is worthless. Grace, faith, obedience. Grace, faith, obedience. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 for a minute. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. They felt bad, right? And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Let's all say do. Do. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, you don't have to do anything. You are saved by grace. But because of grace, there's something we can do. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Folks, repentance is not a good work, it's obedience. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Folks, water baptism is not a good work, it's obedience. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Folks, it's obedience. Listen, folks, repentance is not my idea. It's God's idea. It's God. And folks, there's more to repentance than a few tears on your face and shaking a preacher's hand. Repentance is a change of direction. I do not want sin. I do not want disobedience. I want God, and I want to be obedient to him. Amen. In repentance, where you are sorry enough to quit. God, I don't want sin. Forgive me, Lord. Repentance is not my idea. It's God's idea. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Folks, the word baptized means to plunge, to immerse, to dip. There's no sprinkling for water baptism found in Scripture. No, you need to be buried with him by baptism. Folks, water baptism, being put under the water, is not Brother Roy Grant's idea. It's God's idea. Now, I was preaching in Bethel, Alaska. There are no, you cannot drive to Bethel, Alaska. The only way to get there is to fly into Bethel, Alaska. And all the houses are built up on steel, you know, pillars because they have constant permafrost. It is so cold that the ground never completely thaws out. So because of that, because they cannot put water pipes in the ground or anything, trucks come and they deliver water to every house. So I was in the pastor's house, all right, and they give you the water the first of the month, and it has to last for 30 days. Now, I like good, long, hot showers. But I learned how to take a five-minute shower because there were six of us in this house, and the water had to last. The only time you flush the toilet is when it was absolutely necessary. All right. Folks, that's how it was in Bethel. But now I'm preaching revival, and on the last end of the revival, seven people wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. But there was no water in the baptistry. Well, I guess we're going to have to wait till the first of the month, you know, 2 weeks from now. No, do you know what people did? for the next hour and a half, all the saints went back to their own houses, filled up buckets and containers of water, and they came and they kept pouring water in the baptistry. Kept pouring water in the baptistry till there was enough water for someone to be buried with him by baptism. So what should we say? Should we say, hey, God, did you notice this, God? God, are you impressed with this now? Because we're using our own water to baptize people? No, folks, we should not. Folks, God should not be impressed with us. We need to be impressed with him because we can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I was born and raised in Duluth, Minnesota. Sometimes the lakes would not thaw until the first week in May. Someone wanted to be baptized in the month of February. Boy, I mean, people would go out and they would chop holes in the ice, go into that river. I mean, so what does the candidate say, the baptismal individual? Lord, are you impressed with this now? I'm going to get baptized and get pneumonia at the same time. So, Lord, I hope you're impressed with. No, folks, we need to be impressed because there's something we can do. We can repent of our sins. We can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we can receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the grace of God. Because, folks, it's not a good work. Folks, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's because of obedience. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. It says this. And being made perfect, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that, what? Obey him. I'm going to show you my faith by my works, actions, and deeds of obedience. Don't tell me you believe the word of God if you don't do what it tells you to do. Don't tell me you believe God if you don't do what he tells you to do. Because sin in one word is disobedience. God told Adam and Eve, you can eat of every tree, but of one tree thou shalt not eat, because you're going to surely die. Sin comes because of disobedience. Yes, adultery, fornication, lying, lust, jealousy, all of that is sin. But it comes back to one word, disobedience to God. Sin comes because of disobedience. Salvation comes through obedience. That's why if there's anyone sitting out there, you're living in a state of disobedience tonight. Tonight you can take your first step toward obedience to God. If you've never been to an altar before, you can come and repent of your sins. There's water here. You can be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. You can receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Grace, faith, obedience. There are some pastors that have gone to a theological cemetery for 8 years, and they still don't know this. Grace, faith, obedience. All of you are the best theologians in Madison right now. Grace, faith, obedience. I remember being in Bible school with a man from Texas, and this man was raised in a Catholic family. So he was sprinkled as a little baby in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So now he's a college student. And so he's thinking for himself, and he realizes there's no infant water baptism, you know, and no sprinkling. So he goes into a church, and they said, Stanley, have you been baptized? He said, well, I was sprinkled as a baby. No, you need to be buried with him by baptism. So he puts on a baptismal robe, gets into the water, and they say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And they baptize Stanley. Then a few months later, he goes into another church. And they say, Stanley, have you been baptized? He said, yeah, I was sprinkled as a baby and I was dunked under once in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But you need to be put under three times face forward. So he goes, okay. So he puts on the baptismal robe one more time. He gets in the water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Wow. A few months after that, he walks into an apostolic church. Stanley, have you been baptized? He said, have I been baptized? Man, I was sprinkled as a baby. I was dunked under once going backwards and three times face forward. But have you ever been baptized with the name of Jesus Christ called over you? Whatever we do in word, we do it all in the name of Jesus. But see, I knew Stanley had faith because he believed that one more time he puts on a baptismal robe. One more time he gets in the water. And for the first time, a pastor says, I now baptize you in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And they baptized him one more time. I know he had faith because he had obedience to back it up. Everyone can be saved because of grace. But they will not be saved unless they have faith and obedience. Sin comes because of disobedience. Salvation comes through obedience. I remember preaching at a little home missions work in Portland, Oregon. We're in a little storefront. Maybe less than 20 people in this church. And one of the dear sisters of the church brought her unsaved daughter, who's in college, to the Tuesday night service. She's holding a brand newborn little baby, little infant. When we open up the altar, everyone comes except the mother and her daughter who's holding the little baby. But I looked at the daughter from the pulpit, and folks, there's tears on her face. Are you glad when God's touching you and there's tears? Yeah. She's wiping away the tears. So I'm leaving the platform to go and pray for her. And when the mother sees me coming, she takes the baby out of her daughter's arms. And I remember going to that daughter and I said, the reason you're crying is because you feel the presence of God. And I said, nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. And to my amazement, she just yelled it so everyone at the altar could understand, could hear it. But she said, but Brother Mackey, she said, I've had 3 abortions and I decided to keep this baby. What can I do? I'm so glad I didn't say, you've had 3 abortions. There's no hope for you. But because of grace, there's something you can do. Oh, yeah, you've had 3 abortions. But I want you to know, amen, God has extended grace to you. Amen. Why don't we go to the altar right now? Why don't we repent of our sins? Make it right with God. Be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Her mother took the child. She comes running to the altar. Just tears, tears. God, I'm so sorry for taking this baby's life. Amen. And you can see that heavy load of sin lifted off of her life. Amen. She raised her hands. And even before she was baptized, she was speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord filled her. Amen. Oh, yeah. Listen. On the day of Pentecost, when they heard that they had crucified the Lord, they didn't have a sarcastic, snotty attitude. All right, we crucified the Lord. What can we do? No, they were overwhelmed. We've crucified the Lord. Tell me, is there anything I can do? I'm an alcoholic. What can I do? I'm a murderer. What can I do? I'm a drug addict. What can I do? I'm so full of lust. What can I do? I'm here to tell every man and woman in this house, I don't care what the sin is. I don't care what the lifestyle is. I don't care how horrible the pit, how deep the miry clay. I don't care what the sin is. There is something you can do. Hallelujah. You can have obedience to God. Do you know how far back grace goes? Before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Even before God created anything, there was grace in the mind of God, the kindness of God to you and me. And as an evangelist, I would see people come in, sit, all right, and feel the presence of God. God's calling them, folks, and there's nothing coerced here. No one's going to come out there and drag you to an altar. No. Folks, I've seen people fold their hands and resist the presence of God. I've seen them turn their back on an altar and light up a cigarette on the front steps of the church. But you know what? They come back 3 nights later, and know what? God's touching them again. Listen, every time you're in this church, every time you hear a message, every time there's an altar call, that's grace. And there's more grace. And there's more grace. And there's more grace. What can I do? Thank God for repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Let's stand and raise our hands and thank God for grace tonight, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Nobody loves us like God loves us. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you for grace. Thank you for kindness. Thank you for benefits. Thank you, God, that I can repent of my sins. Thank you, God, there's water. I can be baptized in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we must open up an altar. We must. It's an insult to the grace of God not to allow people to have faith and obedience tonight. To come, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What an insult. Just say, well, nice to see all of you folks again. We'll see you next year, maybe. You're dismissed. What an insult to grace. No, but you're sitting out there. What can I do? Because of grace, there's something you can do. You can step out of that pew by faith. You can come to this altar and repent of your sins. There's water. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus. And God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Any backsliders here tonight? There's grace here now, the altar. You can come and make things right. As we sing this old chorus, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. We're going to open up this altar right now, all right? Everybody, come on. Any guests or visitors, you have disobedience, let this night be the beginning of obedience in your heart and life. God wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to fill you. Oh, this is beautiful. Let's sing it, shall we? Oh, yes. Oh, it's amazing grace. How sweet. Oh, yes. Does this sound sweet to you? That saved a wretch like me. Oh, yes. Everyone can be saved because of grace. That's right, those tears, that's the presence of God. Oh, yes, He loves us so much. Oh, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch. Let there be some faith tonight. Let there be some obedience in the name of Jesus. But now I'm found. I was blind, but now
I see.
Oh, the grace of God is in this building now. It's amazing grace. Is there any faith in this building? Any obedience in this building? Oh, hallelujah! In the name of Jesus. Save somebody. I once was very lost, but now I'm really found.
Now I see.
Continue to reach out to the Lord. Continue to reach out to the Lord. He's reaching for you. He's reaching for you. Pour your heart out to Him. Give Him 100%. 100% of you. Continue to reach out to Him.
Praise God. 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 Praise God.
God, what a great God. Yes, what a great God.